We're going back in our teaching again today. The series that the Lord started to have me teach, He gave to me some time ago and said, gave me the title. He titled it Above All Things. And the title came from a scripture that He quoted to me from the King James Version of the Bible, from 3 John, the second verse. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." And the Lord really emphasized to me is above all things. And I meditated on that, thought about it. Above all things is thinking this was a letter written to Gaius by John. And we can't go back all over through that, you know, the teaching I did in the beginning. Those things, you can download them free offline. But John was writing to Gaius, and we looked at Gaius. Why John said these things to him and the qualifications. There were certain qualifications that this man met. And the apostle John said to him, above all things, I want you to prosper and be in health above everything. So this person was a believer. This individual was a believer, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, above all things, I want you to prosper and be in health. And I want you to understand this. The Lord had me teaching this. If this wasn't for us, well, then this would be a foolish thing for me to be teaching it here. You know, the Lord wants me to emphasize, above all things, He desires for His people, and especially His people. I know the Lord spoke to me when I was first born again, and He began to teach me on the subject of healing. Started teaching me in that area. And the Lord told me, He said, when people get born again, they get filled with the Spirit. He said, the number one thing, I want them to be healthy. He said, because if they're not healthy, He said, they can have their money stolen from them, really, through having, you know, you don't want to spend all your money on doctors and insurance and everything else, do you? You know, you don't want to do that. I mean, my words, our country's going bankrupt trying to run a health system. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's loads of people sick because they can't afford the health system. They're worried to death about the money they have to make to try to have health. It's killing them. It's, you know, and he said, when people don't have health, he said, then they can't do my will. He said, you know, sickness dominates people's lives. I mean, a huge part of our American population, their entire life is dominated by sickness and disease. It's dominated by, it controls their whole life. That was never God's intent. These poor preachers that run around saying, well, God makes you sick for a reason, then God's the reason for the mess of our country. Is that it? God's the problem for all the insanity in our nation? You want to go to heaven with Him? we have this insane God that's done all this crazy stuff? I don't think so. I read the Bible. Jesus said the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. He said, I came that you might have life. Much of Christianity is worshiping a wrong God. Above all things, He wants you to prosper and be in health. Hallelujah. He wants you to have enough money. He wants you to be financially in a position where you can take care of your things. So the Bible says that, talked about a man taking care of his family. He said a guy who didn't take care of his family, it says in the scriptures, New Testament, says is worse than an unbeliever. Is an infidel, is an unbeliever. He's worse than that. In other words, God wants you to have, God's in the business that you have enough money that you pay your bills and everything, but He wants you to have money left over so you can give. And we're talking about that. We're dealing with the areas of over there in financial areas because God does want people to prosper. And we were talking last week, there's things that the Lord spoke to me about back in 2014 to change, just really dramatically change some things for me in the areas of finances. But I realized, too, as the Lord, in doing this, I knew at the time He was dealing with me in things because He wanted me to teach on some areas. God wants to get some revelation across to people so they will begin to prosper. There's been hindrances in the churches that the fact of teaching on prosperity is right, but what things were being taught and things that are being done, there's lots of things that aren't right. It's not what God said or what God did. And really, what it does is put people under bondage. There's one thing, as I've learned, when you're operating over in the areas of the Word of God, there's a freedom. It's not a bondage to try to walk in the things of God. And in the areas, you know, especially in the areas of giving and that stuff, many of those things are bondage to people. They think it's terrible, you know. People hate to depart with their money because they don't know what's going on or what's going to happen. You know, if I give any money away, maybe I won't get anything back, and people are worried. But when you find out what the truth and the operation that God has, and when I started getting involved in God's plan, boy, I'll tell you what, it works out really good, and I'm going to stick with His plan. Hallelujah. And we were talking last week in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and we're going to go back there. I can't go over all the things we talked about, but we're going to pick up from here, but I want to read down through where we were last week in the second in the ninth chapter. We were reading, I had started at verse 5. We want to go back there. It says, "Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you have previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not of grudging obligation." This is an offering that was told about ahead of time to the churches. What was going on is the Gentile churches living in other nations, there was things that they were doing pretty well, but down in Jerusalem, there in the area of Judea and stuff, there had been great drought in those areas, and there was a lot of problem. The church down there was having a lot of problems and trouble. They needed food, they needed things, and so what they were talking about taking an offering to send it to their brethren down in Jerusalem. You know, I want you to understand this. They weren't taking an offering for everybody starving down in Jerusalem. God never told the church to take care of every poor person out here. The Bible basically teaches about taking care of your brother, and it's talking about the church taking care of each other, not everybody else. But today, the church world goes around and tries to take care of everybody, and we help people not work today. Why go to work when you can have everything given to you and you can stay home? You imagine we live in a country of 94 million people have left the workforce and are not looking for jobs. Well, where are they getting their money from? The people that work. You go to work to keep them in stuff, and we're doing good. We're not doing good. The Bible says, the New Testament says, that if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. I don't believe in this bit. Some guys say, well, they don't pay enough there. Then I'll tell you what, you don't need to eat. You know, in my life, I went and took a job wherever I could get a job. Even as a sinner, I worked wherever I could get a job and work. You didn't go sit down somewhere and say, well, that job, if you ain't got any job, you better take the one you can get. But to sit off and live off of other people, that's downright evil. We promote laziness. We promote it. I want to tell you what, God will not bless laziness. Bible says this. People talk about prosperity. You want to understand this? The Bible says God will bless the labor of your hand. God cannot bless people who don't work. Because he said he blesses the labor of your hand. So if you ain't working, if he blesses you even though you don't work, well then he's a liar. And his word's not true. You got to put your hand to something. That's what you want to do. You get your hand to something to prosper. I said, my father taught us over the years. It's like he said, my father went, and you've heard me say, my father went through the Depression and went through the whole Depression, and he was down, and it was born and raised down in Shenandoah Valley area. But my father was never without a job, yet loads of the people around his area and stuff, they were without jobs, but he was never without a job. And he used to always say it, and he said it all the time. He used to tell us about it. I'll never be without a job. But see, he was willing to work to do whatever it took. Not everybody was willing to do whatever it took. They weren't willing to do it. But I'll tell you, in his life, God prospered him and blessed him. God did a lot of good things for my father. I'll tell you what, my dad and mom retired better than people who earned 5 or 6 times as much money as they did. They were just downright blessed. And because, is number one, they didn't have to spend all their money on their health issues because they didn't follow God and didn't do whatever, did whatever they wanted. God blessed them. Their lives turned out well. This is one of the things is I follow the word of God because of outcome. I want the outcome of what God has promised. Now, he went on to say concerning this offering, he told them that he was coming about a generous offering. He said, but he didn't want to give it grudgingly. And he goes in verse 6, he said, but this I say, who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now, he's talking about the giving here to blessing the brothers, so he tells them. In other words, we need to understand how the blessing works. And it's just like in the natural, we have, he uses the term to sow. Because this is with things that people can understand. We understand that. If you went out here, and if a farmer went out here and he planted 10 acres of corn, he doesn't harvest 20 acres of corn, does he? You harvest at the rate that you sow, or how you sow, what you put into it. It's like, you know, they always used to say, well, whatever you put into something, my mom used to say, well, you don't want to just get out of it what you put into it. Mama used to say that. I guess that ain't said much today, because people don't expect a lot out of things they don't put a thing into. They're always looking for something to get something free. Well, it doesn't work that way. So he said, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. And we'll talk about some of these things in some detail. He says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, and not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So he tells people here, Paul was telling people how to give. You purpose in your own heart what you're going to do. You purpose in your own heart. You don't let somebody else purpose in your heart. You don't let some preacher or somebody tell you how much you're supposed to do. You're supposed to get it in your own heart, because God wants a cheerful giver. It's one thing. God ain't pleased when people give and didn't want to do it. There's no reward into doing things. See, this is why religion's based on this. You have these rituals you follow. And if you follow the rituals, then God likes you. I'm going to tell you, that's unscriptural. That ain't nothing but religious, man's ideas, man's religion. God wants your heart into what you're doing, you know? If your heart ain't in it, look, faith is of the heart. There's no such thing as, I have faith in God, but my heart ain't in following Him. Well, then you don't have faith in God. So it's based on the fact that you're following Him. So get it into your heart, so Paul didn't say, well, whatever in somebody else's heart to do, you do it. Did he? You purpose in your heart what you're supposed to do. He said, don't do it grudgingly. Don't give in a grudging manner. Don't give, well, I have to do this, you know. I've watched people do this that, you know, the offering plate goes along and they want to put something in it because they don't want to think anybody would see them not put something in it. They're so worried about what everybody else does. They don't know that, but they're hurting themselves. Because what they're doing, they're not giving by any kind of faith or anything. This is all about a show for their own, make me look good. Make them think I'm doing something. I know people used to do this. They wouldn't even have nothing to put in. They didn't put it, but they put their hand like they put something in. And they would do it. And that was all a show. And I want to tell you what, that'll hurt you more with God than help you. I don't have to show off to none of you people. I don't give a rip if you know what I'm doing or not. That's your problem, not mine. Now, I just have a policy with me. You don't have to have this policy. But I don't let like a general offering plate go by without putting something in it. Because I just like to give. I don't, you know. I just like to do that. Like I take my family out for my birthday. I take them out and pay for their dinners for my birthday. I give a present to them. That's what I do. It's just, you know, that's what I do. On my birthday, I like to do something for somebody. Everybody's waiting around to get something. I think this is just another opportunity. I can do something for somebody. Dear Lord, let's bless someone. Let's do something for somebody. I'm not too sure. I love to do that. I like to do it. I like to bless somebody. And it's just a good thing to do. And you know why? It just makes me cheerful. It makes me happy to be able to do that. It just, you know, my God. I'm a full believer in it's more blessed to give than receive. I don't believe that's a fake thing in Scripture. It's just a nice, it is. Hallelujah. It is wonderful to be able to do it. Thank God He's blessed my life where I can do it. Man, I can do it more now than I used to be able to. But thank God I'm able to do it. Hallelujah. But God wants a cheerful giver. He wants you to be happy about this. That's why you need to understand about giving and what God has had to say about it. Because it'll give you a happy life. Man, I tell you, there's a lot of people could use a happy life. And they don't think giving would be in the way to do it. People don't understand. I'll tell you what, learning to be, put something out there. I taught our kids from they were young. I tell them, they ain't going to be in society. They ain't going to be one of these people living off other people. I tell them when they were little, you know, you're not going to be out here be a burden on society. You're not going to do that. You're going to be a blessing to society. You're going to be doing something to this earth and being a blessing. I'm going to tell you, ain't no kid ever live in my house is going to sit around and do nothing. I'm going to tell you, they're going to be gone. We ain't going to be having that. I ain't letting no curse in society live in my house. We don't raise curses. We raise blessings. Hallelujah. And praise God. And I'll tell you what, My girls are good workers. Hallelujah. They ain't lazy. They know how to do stuff. They're smart. You know, a lot of kids out here, they don't need to go to college because they ain't smart enough. If you don't know how to work, you're an idiot. And going to college ain't going to help you. You're just going to be an educated idiot and figure out more ways how to cheat people, find out more ways how to be lazy and do nothing. Understand this. Most of the crooks and stuff we have in Washington are all college graduates. So don't tell me college is helping everybody. All we're doing is teaching how to people how to be better crooks. Now they're educated and they can figure out more ways to do it. They might not, no, they don't use guns, but they steal more than the people with guns. And we need to understand this. If people aren't raised right and done right to educate them, you just made somebody what the Bible calls a worse child of hell. Education without God ain't worth it at all. Hallelujah. Don't we know? Oh, my, my, my. Well, that was all free, folks. Hallelujah. Now, in verse 8, that we read this before, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work." Now, he said God is able. He didn't say God would. He said God's able to. Well, why did he say that? He said that because of what he just explained in the previous verses. The person who's a grudging giver, or the guy that really don't want to do it, or he's always just so sparing, well, that individual cannot expect all grace to abound toward him. We need to understand that. There's qualifications for it. He said God's able. And I love the fact because he said God's able to make all grace abound to where that you have all sufficiency in all things. Wow. Now I like that because it isn't all just sufficiency in money. See, this is one of the ideas, you know, people get the idea in their mind, and I want to talk about that today. The Lord dealt with me back in 2014 about this. People get in their mind that giving money produces money because of false teaching. It just produces money. It produces a whole lot more. If you're just looking on the money side of it, you're on a very little narrow place of operation and you're going to have little blessing in life. Because you may have financial blessing, but the rest of your life may not be blessed at all, and you'll spend all your money trying to be happy and fix your problems. But we need to understand this. This is talking about being blessed in every area of your life. Financially, and using finances right and blessing financially can bring a lot of blessing to a lot of areas of your life, and that stuff that God will bless you because of being obedient in that area. It can bring a lot of blessing. I'll use some illustrations on that. But you can be everything. You would be sufficient in everything. In other words, it seems that this sufficiency that God is talking about requires the grace of God to do it. It don't just naturally happen. In other words, there's something that happens in your life is above what you're able to do by your own smarts and education. I don't know about you. I sure need that kind of thing. I haven't met anybody I think's that brilliant. We have all these people we think are brilliant today. I think God is smarter than everybody. And I think if he says that I need to have grace to give me the sufficiency he wants me to have, then I'm going to have the grace to do that, and it ain't going to come because I went to school someplace. You know, I did go to school someplace. You might not think it, but I did, honest. I don't always speak English right, and lots of times I don't. It's for a purpose because it makes people stop and listen. I say, well, he didn't say that right. Well, they're paying attention anyhow. I don't want to be a sweet orator. I don't want to be one. We got loads of them. Already tons of them out there. Well, so he said, then the purpose, that you may have an abundance for every good work. You might have an abundance. God wants you to have an abundance for every good work. Now, when the Lord spoke to me in 2014 about financial things, this is one of the things he talked to me about. Because I used to, and I did, I used to talk to the Lord, and I used to say, I'm going to have an abundance. I want to have an abundance for every good work. Then when something comes up, I want to be able, something, there's a need or something, and God wants to do something, I want to have money to be able to put into it, or I want to have whatever it needs to be to put into that. Whatever it is, it might be, maybe not money, or maybe just supply the thing, or whatever. I want to be able to do that. When something good's coming along, you know, how many people want to get in on a good investment? You know, I want to get a good investment. They want to, insiders. Boy, everybody wants to get some inside trading, People, you know, they call them legal, but I'll tell you what, loads of people do it. But inside, what the whole thing of it is when something comes along good to do, I don't look at money from the standpoint that some of them almost teach like, well, it's investing, but it really, it's not from that standpoint. You're just going along doing what's right. You're just, this is what you do. It's not just trying to, well, what am I going to get out of this? You don't want to get that thought in your mind with God. You don't want to start doing that because what that will lead to is the love of money. And the love of money is the root, the Bible says, of all kinds of evil. And it is. Because the more money you get, if you don't live right, the more money you get, the more evil you'll live. People never live better. People who don't live right, you don't give them more money and they live better because they get more money. We found that out. Welfare. The more money they give into welfare, do people live better lives out of it? No. Now they'll buy more booze and more cigarettes and more drugs and they'll... That always amazes me it's like I'll say go into a turkey hill or somewhere or something like that, and all these people in there, and I mean, they ain't got money for nothing. I mean, and but they're sitting there and they're buying their lottery tickets, they're getting their cigarettes, they're getting all their stuff, and they ain't got no money, and they're standing there complaining about money instead. And I'm thinking, oh dear God, you know. What we need to do is that, and I love it, you know, when they turn around and then they pull out their, when they do certain things that they buy, then they can use their, you know, their little cards and they get their cards out and buy their stuff, but they're, you know, getting all their stuff there. I mean, we're paying for their health insurance while they're smoking like crazy. Say, boy, this is working really well, isn't it? I tell you, we got this thing down pat. This is going good. Oh, my words. Anyhow. So God wants us to be sufficient. Now, in verse 9, we didn't go this far last week, but he says, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. And so that's a quote, a scriptural quote. That quote is made from the Old Testament, but it's talking about the person, in this sense, they're giving to the poor. He's talking about the blessing that comes with that. He's dispersed abroad, he's given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. In other words, it's a righteous act. Here we have in righteousness. In other words, it's a righteousness is the fact of the act of what he's doing. It was right that he's helping his Christian brothers who needs help. The blessing that goes with that, it goes with that. Verse 10 says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread to food. He said, he who supplies, look at that, seed to the sower and bread for the food. Now he's talking about God. Who does God supply seed to? Who does he supply seed to? The sower. And I'm just going to tell you this. Don't be sitting around asking God for money when you're a tightwad. We'll let it go. God supplies seed to the sower. You need to understand this. You got to become a sower. See, I found out it wasn't hard to get money for things from God when I found out you sow. If you're a sower, God wants to get it into your hands. He wants to get it over to you. Not, you know, understand this. God gives me money not to give it all away. He gives me money to sow and he gives me money to put in my pocket too. But if you're a sower, there's, you know, in the kingdom of God, there's no need for anybody to have a lot of money if you're not a giver. There's no need for you to have it. You don't need God giving you any money because you're not a sower. You're a dam on a river. All you're doing is stopping the flow. We don't want to stop the flow. Hallelujah, we want to be part of it. He's multiplied seed to the sower. And said, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply your seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now, in other words, to increase the fruits of your righteousness, he's talking about this right act that you do, this right act in giving that he's telling them that they're doing. This is a right act. Righteousness is just doing what's right. That's what it is. It's being right, doing what's right. That act, there's fruit that produces. It is a fruit of your righteousness, whether however it comes back to you financially or whatever else. In other words, it produces things. It says fruits of your righteousness. It didn't say it's going to just produce money. But see, they teach it's just money. You need to understand this. If you're taking it that way, you're limited. And if they teach it that way, they limit you and themselves. The fruits of righteousness are not just not money, per se, are they? Study the scriptures. Multiply the fruit of your righteousness. In other words, doing what's right brings things back to you. That's why when Jesus said you give, it's given unto you. Men will put into your bosom. Men will press down, shaken together, run over. People would give to you. In other words, you set a thing in motion. In other words, there's fruit, just like on a tree. You plant a tree and it produces fruit. There's something comes off of it. The fruit that comes off the tree when you plant it, the fruit don't look like the tree, does it? No, it's something it produces. And so what your righteous act produces things. And we want to see this because it produces the fruit of your righteousness. Now listen what he says. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, you're enriched in everything. He didn't say you're just enriched in money. You're enriched in everything. Don't you want to? I would rather believe that than believe in just the money thing. Now thank God I can get some money, but I can be enriched in everything by doing what's right. Acting in what's right, and acting right, not sparingly. Many people act right sparingly. Many Christians act right sparingly. They only do good to a point. No, we're supposed to be liberal. See, you're not supposed to be conservative in this area. If you're conservative in the areas of sowing and reaping, you are not in God's plan. God is liberal when it comes to that. That area, God is liberal. You want to become a liberal in that area of your life. You don't want to be a conservative. Conservatives in the areas of giving. Now, it's very interesting. You know, if you take United States of studies, they've done numbers of studies on this thing. People who are Republicans give much more money away to charity than Democrats do. Do you know the President of the United States made $1.5 million 1 year, our President, turn around telling, oh, we have to help people and do stuff. He made $1.5 million. You know how much he gave? $5,000. This guy is running around taking money he can from everybody to go help all these people, and we just got to help everybody and his brother. He makes over $1.5 million. My words, I give that much away and nothing flat. This man ain't nothing but a crook. Conservatives give more money away. It's because of our thinking and what we're doing. I found out this about, you know, I'm just not, you know, but it's just the way it is. This is a person, I've had a lady one time come to our door, and she asked for money for a certain, they're asking money for a certain thing. I asked her how much she gave. She said, well, I don't give. This is how my giving is, by going around asking other people. I said, if you don't put your money into it, I won't either. Goodbye. Close the door. I can tell you without a doubt, she's a liberal. Her job is go around, take your money and go help somebody else with it. That's what you do. That's what Obama does. He's always looking. We need to get more of your money. You need to pay more. Yeah. You didn't start your business. We did. Now, people might not like that. I'm sure there's people who wouldn't want to listen to me and like me to preach yet, but I'm going to tell you it's the truth nonetheless. It's the truth whether you like it or not. It don't matter. If you don't like to hear the truth, there's plenty of churches people go to hear that. There's lots of places you can go get lied to. It's all right. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you, the day when Jesus comes, and Jesus said, they're going to come and say, I did this in your name and I did that in your name. He's going to say, go away, I never knew you. That's Jesus said it. I mean, so we know this, it's going to happen. It will happen. Hallelujah. But God wants you to be enriched in everything. Hallelujah. What for all liberality, in other words, to be liberal, he said, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. In other words, they're giving, what's going to happen? Through their giving, people are going to thank God because their brothers are going to be blessed, and those brothers that receive this, they're going to be thanking God for taking care of them and looking after them, helping them. Now, how many times have I, you know, been blessed and people have done things for me, and I just thank God, hallelujah. He used people to bless me. Is good. We thank people, and I just appreciate what people do, but I thank God, hallelujah. I thank God for the system that He operates and runs. I mean, we have a good God. Now, we've had teaching in the area, and one of the things I want to deal with here and look at this some here is some illustrations in the areas of sowing. Because You know, there are things in teaching, and we talked about this before, but there's things about teaching and giving where things have gotten into extremes. It's like we're teaching here about, and I'm trying to emphasize to you the point, that whatever we do in obedience to God in the areas of giving, whether however we do it or whatever we do, doing the right thing. The Lord spoke to me about when I first got born again. We were teaching here the other Sunday about family. And about what the Lord said to me concerning my family, and we went to the 128th Psalm. But the Lord spoke to me, and he said, if you're obedient and do what I tell you to do, he said, I'll take care of your family. In other words, my obedience to him was going to produce something. It was going to produce things. And you need to understand this. Obedience is bigger than just giving money. Being obedient. This is why the New Testament says we're supposed to be led by the Spirit. Each of us have to learn to be led by the Spirit. We can't just be, we don't have a legalistic religion where you sit down and you just look at a book and it says, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. There's too many things. Just like with me, I couldn't have been in the ministry from the start. I could have chosen if I wanted to preach if I, could have, and could have failed at that for sure. But just because I wanted to, I didn't know. There's no place in the book and said that Ed Gibson was supposed to be teach the word of God. Nobody placed in the book said that. I had to find out from God. God had to speak to me about that. There's things that you're never going to know unless you take the time to listen to God. You're never going to know. We're to be led by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. And so we have to learn to be led in the areas of giving. You need to learn to be led in giving. You need to have enough sense to check things out. You, just because somebody says they have a need, that don't mean you go ahead and fulfill that need just because they say it. They have this stuff that they call this crowdfunding stuff. This crowdfunding stuff is giving huge amounts of money to people, and it's not monitored. In fact, I just read a report on this crowdfunding stuff. I'm going to tell you what, it is nothing but bad news because there's no way to check out what people do with the money. And they're finding out loads of it just ain't going to nothing of what people saying they're raising money for or doing things. Why would somebody, just because somebody goes online and says, well, I got a sick kid. Well, they may have a sick kid, but I don't know them and I don't know their sick kid. And I don't know who they are. How could I trust somebody I don't even know who they are? How's that possible? How could I possibly do that? This is what I found out before crowdfunding ever started. We get calls from the church. Now, we first started a church, you start getting calls. People, as soon as they know you're a church, people start calling and want something. Oh, they don't want to come to church. They don't want to be a part of it. They just want the stuff you have, specifically your money. That's what they want. And they're always calling about their needs. Well, there's one thing, as I learned a long time ago, I don't care what somebody tells me at all, I want to find out what's true. It may be true. I've had people call and say, well, I have this problem and that. They may be telling you the exact truth. I don't know that. How do I know? I have to check it out. I don't give money to charities. I don't give money to things I don't check out. You give money stuff because somebody says they want it. I'll tell you, you're probably giving a lot of money, throwing money away. You might as well just burnt the thing stuff and just forgot about it anyhow. You can't believe God to get back when you're just throwing it away because you're too lazy to check it out. You check it out. It's like with ministries. This church, I don't give to ministries. I don't know what's going on. I don't care how good somebody says. Some minister on TV tells me they have an orphanage someplace. I don't care if they say that or not. There's been too many lies done with that number. I'll tell you what, I want to know that orphanage. I want to talk to somebody that's been there to that place. It's operating. I want to talk to somebody. I'm going to call somebody. I'm going to find out. The preacher may be completely honest, but he may not be. We've had big name preachers who have completely lied to people, raised millions of dollars, and there ain't been no orphanage. And they bring shame on everybody, but the biggest shame is the lazy Christians that don't check it out, that only just follow men rather than God. I want to tell you, God gave me enough sense, check things out. You know, I realize it's going to take a little bit of your time, but if your money ain't worth nothing to you, go ahead and just do it that way. Go ahead. My money's valuable to me and whom it goes to. It's valuable, and it should be, and I would want it to get it into the hands of the people that need it. I want to help people, but I want to make sure that I'm giving it to somebody who's legitimately needs a help. Somebody legitimately that we can do something for. Not somebody who's legitimately lazy, who ain't going to do nothing. So you want to make sure of that. Hallelujah, that's good preaching anyhow. But you know, just in the area of being obedient and the obedience even with money. Now, I want to give an example of Kenneth Hagin concerning dealing with money and giving money. Because we deal with, the church world has this sort of sets classes of things to teach. And money deals with money and health deals with, you know, just healing over here. It's all intertwined. We need to understand, you need to get this thing. You will never walk in divine health being disobedient in this area, but because over here you believe God for healing, you'll have it. Or over here you don't believe God right, you don't walk right, but over here in money you do, then you're just going to get money. It doesn't work that way. It may start off and God bless you in your ignorance in the beginning, but you can't just keep doing it. Remember, when we talk about different subjects in the Bible, they all tie together. It's about learning to be obedient in things. There was a man, Kenneth Hagin, had told a story about. He was at a meeting, and at this meeting, he was very familiar with this church that he was at. But at this meeting, there was a man, Kenneth Hagin would do, more doing like revivalist types meetings and that stuff. And he would do teaching sessions in the morning, and then at night he'd have like revival meetings and that stuff. They pray for the sick, and they were having quite a few people were getting healed and stuff at this meeting. But they had a man come up. The man came up to him, and Brother Hagin, because he was operating the prophet's ministry, he used to tell people not to tell him what was wrong with them or their problems. You know, sometimes that's the worst thing you can do is tell a minister what your problems is, because you'll shut off gifts of the Spirit to go into operation. Because Brother Hagin, you say, don't do it, because when he'd lay hands on people, many times God would speak to him about things concerning the individual. That would help. When he talked to the individual, inspire their faith, because they hadn't talked to him and told him anything. Once you've told your whole story and God speaks to the person, you'll wonder if, well, they're just saying that because I told them. Now, sometimes they ask you, but you don't have to go tell everybody your story. You might be hurting yourself a whole lot by doing that. You know, I ain't your doctor. I ain't going to give a diagnosis based on what you told me. Quit treating your preachers like doctors. Don't do that. Because I can have supernatural gifts operate through me. I'd rather have that than just hear stories and then come up with my opinion. I don't know about you. I ain't much of a doctor. So you're better off not me giving you a diagnosis. Okay. Hallelujah. Anyhow, this man came up and Brother Hagin laid hands on him. And it turned out this man had an ulcer. Had really bad, in fact, he had bad stomach ulcers for years. Bad stomach ulcers. Very severe. He couldn't eat any solid food for years. He was laid off. He was worked in the oil fields and had a really good job, but he couldn't go to work. He had been off, been sick. And Brother Hagin laid hands on this man. He said to the man about having the ulcers and told him about him not being able to go to work, told him this stuff. And he said, I see you, he said, at nights. He said, they were down in Texas, and he said, I see you at nights, and this guy would sleep. They used to have down in Texas, because back in those days, during the Depression days, people didn't have air conditioning and stuff, so they'd have an out porch, and it'd be a screened-in porch, and they would sleep out there at nighttime, because it was cooler than being in the house. So he said, I see you go out there and lay down the bread, and he said, you hold your stomach and roll around and that stuff. He said, but it ain't all about your stomach. He said, your conscience is bothering you. And the guys looked at him and said, Ma, you're a fortune teller. He said, I ain't no fortune teller. I said, I'm just speaking to you by the Spirit of God. He said, I saw this. And he said, what's your conscience is bothering you about? He said, God has been dealing with you about tithing, but you've had good jobs, good money, but you've never tithed. And God's been dealing with you about that, and you won't obey it. He said, oh, now I know you're a fortune teller. But Brother Hagin didn't have convinced. But the guy told him, he said, you're exactly right. He said, you're exactly right. He said, what's going on? God's been dealing with me. And I really learned a good thing from that as a young Christian when I heard him tell that. Now that doesn't mean because you didn't tithe, you're going to be sick. It's like Brother Hagin made this statement when I first heard him tell this. He said, I know for sure that there was people I knew for sure in this church that didn't tithe and they didn't have stomach ulcers. He says, people are different areas of revelation in their life of what they know or understand, and God deals with them. God's been dealing with this man a long time about it, and he wouldn't obey. So in other words, his disobedience affected his health. See, he's over there wanting healing. He can't get healing. You know what? He couldn't get healing till he obeyed God. When he obeyed and started tithing, he told the Lord there at this meeting, and this is what Kenneth Hagin said. Kenneth Hagin said, you know, if you'll repent, he said, repent and set yourself to do what's right. He said, God will heal you. He said, God will heal you on credit if you'll set yourself to do what's right. The man said, yeah, he said, I'll do what's right. He said, I'll tithe. He said, I need to do that. You're right. And he said, the Lord healed him. Now, we need to understand this. So, in other words, somebody's giving can be tied to your health issues. You know, the man at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus went down and to heal this man. Now, this man, he didn't know who Jesus was. He didn't know nothing. Jesus went in to heal him. He got healed. He got healed shortly on somebody else's faith that couldn't have been his. He didn't know what was going on. But Jesus told him an interesting thing. He said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. That man had been sick because of sin. So just like with this man's in disobedience with God, and his sin, his disobedience, his sin, is why he's sick. Now, God didn't make him sick. He did. He opens the door. God can't bless a person that keeps being disobedient. He can't bless that. And so we need to understand. See, it's why people have given money. Well, you're just going to... Well, what good was him getting... What was good having a good job and having good money? He ain't got his hell. And his failure to obey what God was dealing with him on about his tithing, he wouldn't do. He ends up with ulcers. So the devil, for a few years, had just had this man's whole life all just messed up. So what happens? He decides to do what right. You know the funniest thing in the world? Just for following his conscience, just think how he could have been healed a long time before this. If he would have just obeyed in his conscience, he could have been back on his job. Money would have been good. All he had to do, he was holding on to something, holding on to it, which is causing all his problems. Holding on to something. And see, this is why you need to be led by the Spirit. There is too much diagnosis today in Christians of, well, why a person isn't healed. There's too much stuff that's wrong. There can be many reasons why. Loads of reasons why. Well, it must be they just don't have enough faith. Let's have a person. You can have all the faith in the world and you can have it. You know, it's the Bible. It tells you this. He said, if you have faith and you don't have love, you know, it don't matter. You can send your body to be burned. You know, it don't matter. Things ain't going to work. In other words, there's things that affect things. My giving affects things in my life. My walk, my obedience, what the Lord told me, just in the same area, my obedience to God was going to determine the outcome of my family. My obedience. So in other words, you know, if that's the principle that worked, then obedience in everything works across the board into other things. Many people have problems and don't identify because their Christian thinking is sort of like the things are taught. The money's one subject and you throw that over here. You don't have to have any of the rest of this. You can make that work. And then you take this healing over here and you push this one over here and that just makes that work. And then you have this other thing about a sound mind that's out here in this other thing. No, it isn't. It all works together. It's learning to be obedient, being led by the Spirit of God. There's one thing, as I found out, as the Lord dealt with me back in 2014, one of the big things that the Lord really commended me for was obeying the Spirit. In other words, finding out what the Spirit was saying to do and doing it. In my giving, I would listen to what the Spirit, I wouldn't do just because some man said to do it. I had to know in my heart it was the thing to do. I have to know in my heart, not just in somebody else's heart, I have to know in my heart. You know, and obey it. And he liked the idea that I was obedient in those areas of listening to the Spirit, doing that kind. You need to learn to do that because, folks, it's affecting everything in our lives. We can't be disobedient to what, just because I give money and I give a lot of money, if I'm not following led by the Spirit in that giving toward what I'm given to, you can be throwing a lot of money out there doing things God never told you to be, and that's disobedience. We don't just cause some guy says it's good. I want to know. I'm not called to finance everybody's ministry. I'm not called to do that. There's an areas of things that God has me in to help in, and that's my part. And if I do my part, that's my part. I don't care what the other guy says in his problem. That isn't my problem. That's other people's problems. That's other people's obedience. It's not mine. So I want to find out what I need to do. Why? Because my blessing is tied to that. My blessing is tied to that. You know, here's one thing. And I just want to get another example. Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin gave, this really stuck with me when I had heard this as a young Christian. Really stuck with me the importance. How many of you would like to have the power of God work through you in powerful ways? How would you like to have, you know, God work through you for miracles? Would you? Well, it's a lot more than just believing God and believing in miracles. Brother Hagin told a story which was, I always thought was really interesting. This took place, Brother Hagin was pastoring a church. In fact, it's his early ministry, and he was a pastor of a church. And a church he was pastoring at, they were holding meetings, and another minister showed up. And they said, you know, there's a bus stopped in front of their church. There was a bus stop. The bus stopped there. This is back in Depression days. And a bus stopped there, and a minister got off and came into the meetings there. Where's that? And Brother Hagin talked to him, and what turned out to be was this minister was heading home to someplace, and like in those days, a lot of people didn't have cars or ways of travel. They say traveled buses, even ministers. So traveling ministers, lots of times they went by bus if they didn't have a car or something. This man didn't have a car, so he would go by bus. But he only had enough money to make it to where Brother Hagin's town was, and he didn't have enough money to get home. He didn't come. So, but he didn't tell Brother Hagin all this. He didn't tell him to say this. Brother Hagin, the Lord told him. But anyhow, this man came, and so the Lord spoke to Brother Hagin and told him, said, this man needs $12 and something. Now, you might not think that sounds much. You go back in Depression days, $12 was big money. Big money. Let me tell you, $100 in those days. In those were the days, if you had $1 million, you were so darn rich. I'm going to tell you, billionaires don't even qualify for what those people. $1 million, you'd have just spent, because $1 million was actually worth $1 million back then. You know. Today, $1 million don't amount to much at all anymore. It don't amount to too much. So anyhow, he said to Kenneth Hagin, now understand this, there's many people back in those days, they didn't even earn $12 a month. They didn't even make $12 a month. Brother Hagin didn't even make $12 a month. You had to walk by faith. Boy, preachers wouldn't know about that today. Anyhow, so the Lord said to him, I want you, it was like $12 and some odd cents. He said, I want you to give him that money for that bus ticket. I want you to give it to him. Brother Hagin said, that wasn't no little thing of God to ask. He said, Lord, he said, we're coming up on Christmas time. And he said, man, he said, that's all the money we got. In fact, he didn't know if he had enough. He went home and he said, we just robbed every piggy bank and everything. And he said, we gave the guy the $12. He said it was $12 in some sense. He said it was all in change. We didn't even have any bills. He said it was all in change. And he said, we took the money and we gave it to the guy. And he said, the Lord blessed us and stuff. But the whole thing of it is some years down the road, years have passed. Brother Hagin's no longer a pastor, and he's out in holding meetings and stuff, and these revival meetings and things, and he's out doing these kinds of stuff. And he's at a meeting, and they had been praying for the sick, and there's been a lot of good stuff that had been going on. But he said that night, an ambulance pulled up in front, and they brought a man out in a stretcher, and they brought him and laid him down. They brought him in on the stretcher and laid him down the floor up in the front. They laid him down there. And this man was really, he was dying. This was sort of like the last, the doctors can't do anything for him. He's dying. Brother Hagin never did say exactly what was wrong with the guy, but he was really in bad, bad shape. So Brother Hagin's preaching. This guy's laying down. The Spirit of the Lord comes on Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin said, you better know the Spirit of the Lord comes on you. He said, I would stay up there just minding my own business, just preaching. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord came on me strong. And he said, I said this. And he said, he spoke it right out to the crowd. He said, I'm going to go down and lay hands on this man, and he's going to get up and be completely, walking completely healed. He said, if it doesn't happen, I'm a false prophet. You better, you know you heard from heaven. He said that. And he said, I walked down there. He said, the anointing was on me. I walked down there, laid my hands on the man. He said, the man got up and walked off completely well, completely healed. Now, this is the interesting part of it. The Lord spoke to Brother Hagin and said, do you remember when that minister came to your church back years ago? He said that $12. And Brother Hagin said, oh, yeah. He said, I remember now that you said it, but I hadn't even ever thought of that. And this is what the Lord said to him. That happened here tonight because you did that. If you wouldn't have done that, you would never see these things happen. You see, financial things have been taught so shallow in the church, and financial ministers have taught so shallow that they don't understand what they're doing with people. This is important stuff to be obedient in areas of our lives. Here, the areas of obedient in finances was tied right to the power of God, the anointing of God on your life. Where do you hear that preached? See, we need to understand the importance of all these things. We need to understand these things. I know what the Lord says. It's just like when the Lord told me about my obedience had to do with my brothers and sisters coming to Christ. My obeying, the blessing comes. We need to understand this obedience things about obeying, whether it's in finance. It goes across the board. I'm being obedient over here to God. I'm not looking at the fact that the things that I'm sowing and giving money and doing things is going to affect my brothers and sisters coming in the kingdom. I could have prayed. This is why many people pray and pray and pray and nothing ever happens, because prayer is worthless without obedience. If I'm not going to obey what the Word of God says to do, prayer is worthless. It's worthless. Why ask God to do things when He can't ask me for a thing? You know, I want God to give me money, but you leave your hands off of mine. God, do this for me. I want this, but don't you talk. I ain't giving you that in my life. You can't have this part of my life. No, you're not going to have this. This is mine. And I want you to understand, it's all tied together. If anything that I learned as a young Christian, with all this stuff's tied together, I know we have to take things apart to teach them, but they never put them back together and never teach people the importance of these things. Just think, $12 did that. A man got up and walked, not because of his faith, but because Kenneth Hagin, years before, had been obedient and God moved through him to bless a man that was dying because of his obedience on $12 years ago. Think about that. So the Lord blessed us, well, even financially, and a lot of things. When we were in Bible school, all because of giving $1,000 years before, never thought a thing about it. I just felt in my heart to do it and ended up in Bible school and asked the Lord, man, we're here in Bible school and I'm in school and we're just being blessed and God's taking care of us. And boy, these things were running so smooth. When I looked around at all the other students and all the stuff that were going on, and the Lord said to me, remember that $1,000 that you gave? Well, it was just like Kenneth Hagin. I hadn't thought about that at all. That'd been years ago. He said, you gave that $1,000. And he said, that's why you're having such a good time here right now. He said, that's why all your needs are met and everything's taken care of here, because of that $1,000 back then. $1,000 back there paid off. Not even think, just being obedient back then, just walking. This is what I encourage people, is just obey God. Obey the Word. Obey it, do it. Because you might not see it right now. You might not see it for a long time. But I tell you, you want to obey, because I tell you, I want the anointing of God in my life. It ain't you. I'm going to tell you, money can never give you an anointing. Money can be one of the biggest problems you'll ever face in life. Money and sex are the number one reason people end up in divorce. So we know money ain't a solving problem. Money ends up to be a mess for people. And that's why you want God in it. It don't become. My wife and I, we don't fuss over money. Hallelujah. Money's to bless with, and God will give you enough so that you can bless, you know, and I'll bless my wife with money, do good things for her. But God gives us money to bless people. We don't make money an obstacle in life. You don't do that. Money's a tool in life, and it's a wonderful tool. But that's all it is a tool. I'll tell you, my wrenches in my toolbox don't keep me happy. If you're happy because of all the tools you have, I want to pray for you, because you have an empty head. Thank God for good tools. If you have a job and work to done, thank God for good tools. But, you know, my wrenches don't work on certain things in life. You can't wrench mama. That you can't do. You better have other tactics. You need to know that. And that's why it's money. You just have to treat it that way. Keep it in the perspective of what it is. Don't let it dominate you. Let it rule you in the area of liberality. Hallelujah. Be something that it's a blessing in life to do. You can be blessed with it. You can have nice things and do stuff. God wants you to. But I'll tell you, I found the easiest way to do it is by being a blessing. Then the blessings in life, what happened? You don't have to try to hold on to things. If God asked you, I remember I had a ring one time that I really liked and that stuff. I remember sitting in a meeting. God taught me things young. Put that ring in the offering plate. I really liked that ring. God said, put it in the offering plate. And I took that ring off and threw it in the offering plate. I liked the ring, but God said, put it in the offering plate. And I put it in the offering plate. Hallelujah. And now I could buy a ring anytime I wanted to. Well, the whole thing of it is, don't let things hold you. See, something might seem precious to you. You get down the road, you get something that's precious to you today, and you end up laying there dying of cancer. That thing ain't precious to you no more. You're fighting for your life. Wouldn't you rather have the things of, man, I know God's with me in this, and I'd rather have that than I've held on to things, and I've tried to, you know, this and that and the other thing. I want to know that I'm following God and I'm walking with God. I just want to encourage you in that area of walking with God. Don't get over in the things and thinking all this stuff is over here in this area and this is in that area and this don't tie to that. It all ties together. You know, I want the anointing of God, and the anointing of God is through obedience. Just think about this. Our obedience, and I talk this a lot, especially in our Wednesday night Bible studies, I do this a lot there and talk about, because God has called us to be a blessing. That's what Abraham was called to be, as a blessing. People that walk with God, you take a man like, say, Moses, and we're teaching on Moses. Moses, the children of Israel were blessed in many ways because of him and not because of them at all. They were blessed because of him. And this is why we walk right to follow God. You follow God to bless other people. I learned in the beginning, I follow God to bless my family. I want my family blessed. I'm going to walk, follow God. That's the whole purpose of it. Most everything people do today is selfish, even in the church. People give money selfishly. People obey God selfishly. What's it going to bring to me? Just like, what if Brother Hagin hadn't given that $12 and that man would have died? I'm going to tell you what. You know what happened? He'd have got to heaven and heard about it. I couldn't do for you. There's people left this world that weren't supposed to leave this world. I didn't want them to, but I didn't have anybody obedient enough to use. See, the church world today, the church is all about going, get your little blessing, and then go home. And that's not what it's about. It's about a life to live, to a blessing to others, to give somebody else something, to bless somebody. I want others to be healed. I want others to be well. I want others to be whole. That's what I want. Don't you? Hallelujah. I want others to be blessed. You know, it's just my teaching anointing. It's not for Ed. It's for others. That's what it's for. You use it. It's a shame. There's sometimes ministers, they use their gifts to draw money in. That's what they use. They use their gift. My gift ain't to draw money in. That ain't what it's for. My gift is to be liberally put out. Hallelujah. If God can't bring it in, I'm sorry. I ain't going to be the guy standing up trying to get the money out of the people. Figure out how to do that. I ain't going there. I ain't going to that place. I'll tell you, I found this over the years. You put something into somebody, my God, you'll get something. Don't worry. You give somebody something good, they'll give you something good back. And I just want to say this. The Lord spoke to me this morning. I wasn't going to talk over in this area, but I just want to say a few things. Because, you know, we do have the teachings today where people talk about, you know, giving. They'll say, well, you know, if you want a car, you give a car. And you do. That's all limited stuff. That limits you. Don't follow that teaching. And we have no biblical, really, in the Bible where it teaches you to do it that way. It doesn't teach you to do it that way. You know, you have to give whatever you want. Well, you know, what if I need something that I don't have one of them to give? it's just stupid. I mean, like, I've had cars given to me, but I had not given a car away. I believe cars. But yet I have done things. We have, Mon and I have given cars away. But the whole thing of it is, you don't, we never, God never has dealt with me. In fact, in 2014, the Lord spoke to me about how to get money in and what to do. He never even spoke about that subject other than to come over and tell me. Then he told me about, you know, that stuff, that is not right. Don't follow that. Don't follow that teaching, because it'll lead you into narrow stuff where you'll turn around over here and you'll have areas that you only have faith for, and it'll keep things from coming to you that God wants to do. So what you do is just be obedient to God. Just obey and do what God says and walk along. Give like you're supposed to. Bless however it is he shows you to do. And you need something, you call it in. It's yours. You don't have to worry about it. If he tells you to give a car, fine. I've never personally have never had the Lord tell me to give a car away. Now, I've given a car away, but Wanda and I did, but we didn't give it away from the standpoint that the Lord told us. We wanted to, and I was completely clear in my heart to be able to do it. If I'd have felt in my heart, don't do that. But I thought we wanted to give it. So we wanted to do that. And so in doing that, we went and did it, but we weren't told to do that. We weren't saying, you know, you got to give a car away. We didn't do it. We didn't do it for that. No, we just decided we wanted to do it. But anytime I do something like that, I always listen on the inside, because if something don't seem right about it, I won't go. And no matter what I think I'd like to do, I want to know I'm clear on the inside to do that. And so we were just clear on the inside to do that. But that's things that you want to walk in. In the areas of giving, though, it's one of the things that the Lord expressed to me, and I've talked to you guys about this before, but the Lord told me to bring this up today, because it's getting over some barriers, because things are taught in certain ways so much, are taught in certain ways, and they hamper people. And the Lord spoke to me about this, as people get hindered in this area and about giving. When the Lord spoke to me in 2014, he told me this. He said, you don't receive at the level you give. In other words, I was supposed to be receiving more. In other words, I wasn't using my faith in as much, in extending it as much as he wanted me to. It wasn't that I couldn't do it. It's just I was limited by the things that had been taught. Things get taught and said in after, and sometimes they never get clarified. I don't know that maybe some of the ministers know that, but they never clarify it. They never, some things. And the Lord began to speak to me about it. And one of the areas that he talked to me about, he told me that Wanda and I were systematic givers, but we weren't systematic receivers. So he told us to get over in the areas where we begin to receive. In other words, my problem wasn't in the areas of giving. I didn't need the more money to get. And the Lord said this to me. Many of my people, and he's talking about many of the people who participate in giving and understand how about giving. He said, they're being robbed and cheated. They are not receiving at the level that they give. And he said, I don't like that. He didn't like the fact they were being taken advantage of by ministers. And he said this to me. He said, ministers keep telling them the reason they didn't, they, this is whether that or another thing, they just need to give more. And he said, keep telling them to give more. He said, that's not the problem. He said, it's good. This is what the Lord said to me. It's good for the preacher to get an offering. But he said, it's not good for my people, and I don't like it. And this is why you got to follow your heart. You see, you get over in giving. And the Lord then spoke to me about this. I had things that were inside of me for years, but I never really talked about it with the Lord or ever said anything or ever really spoke to anybody. But it used to bug me with this, is how much do I have to give to reach a point? Do I get it? Because understand, this is what they're doing. They're teaching that the money you give, you have to give a certain amount to reach a point to get what you want back. And I want you to tell you, that's unscriptural. Because giving isn't only money. Giving's not just money. And this is what the Lord said to me. If you had to give a certain amount of money to get a certain amount back, you would have to know the exact amount of money you have to give before you could ever be in faith. Because he said you can never believe you received it till you reach the giving point that you gave it away. That you need it, that you know that you can have it. He said you can't do it that way. It doesn't operate like that. It operates by faith. We receive from God by faith. In other words, our spirit allows us, and we know inside of us whether or not we can operate in faith to believe for certain things. We can know, we clarity in our hearts. And this is one thing the Lord set me free about. He said, well, when he told me, he said, you don't receive at the level. So he said to me about receiving. Now, this is very interesting because the Lord never talked to me in the end time he taught. Now, over a few weeks period, he talked to me a number of times about this area. And there are some things I've talked about, some I haven't. But some I'm just not free to, if he wants me to talk about it, I will. But in speaking to me about this, he never talked to me one time about giving to get something. Never one time. He never talked to me about what I had to do in the areas of giving. All he ever told me to do is what I needed to do by faith so I could receive more. That's all he ever talked to me about. What I had to do so I could receive more. Why? Because I got the giving part down pat. I got the giving part down pat. I'm cooperating in the giving part. But you know what? It's interesting because I wasn't cooperating with God on the receiving side. I wasn't cooperating. And I would go to meetings, and every time they'd take an offering, they'd always talk to everybody like we're not cooperating as much as we need to on the giving side. That was totally untrue. That was totally 100% untrue. There might have been some people in the congregation who needed to hear about that, but there's many people who need to hear about the receiving side. They understand, and there's people. You folks understand the giving side. You guys know about giving. My words, just what you do. You guys know about the giving side. That ain't none of your problem. That ain't your problem. It's the receiving side is where people, and they have not taken it over to the receiving side to where it should, to help the people who understand the giving. They're always on the side. And the Lord was really, I'm going to tell you, I've never had the Lord talk to me in such really an upset way about other people than concerning ministers and how they have used and abused the people to get offerings. Now, I don't think all of them from the standpoint understand. They're doing what they've been, well, like everybody's been practicing doing. And they just get up and do it and think it's biblical. But they're not talking to everybody lots of times in the congregation when they're taking an offering. They're not talking to everybody to encourage everybody because people are sitting there. And this is what the Lord told me. They're sitting there wondering, well, what do I have to do yet? What do I have to? In other words, it's pushing them further away from faith rather than bringing them closer to it. It's pushing far away. See, I don't think at all when I've given an offering from the standpoint, I put some money in the offering this morning. I already have my faith out believing to bring in stuff in. That offering isn't there to start to trick this thing off. It ain't got nothing to do with that. I'm just doing that because I like to do it. Because I don't let a plate go by me when I put something in. That's me. I'm just giving. That's what I'm doing. I'm just blessing. I'm not even thinking about it. My faith is out for certain things financially and other things. I'm set it out there for it. That's a working. I believe I received it. It's already mine. It ain't out by how much I give. All I got to do is continue to obey God. That's all I got to do. Do what he tells me to. If he tells me to give some more money, like I'm going down to Randy Greer, I'm thinking how I could bless him with an offering going down there. Did the Lord tell you to? No. That's just dead. I just go down and I want to bless him good. You know, I want to do that. Now, I'm not thinking about it. I got to do this because I have a large number of dollars that I have my faith out to bring in. I am not giving it to make that happen. I've already received that. I already believed I received that. I'm not giving money to try to get that to happen. It's already in the working. Angels are already out there stirring people up, bringing money and glory to God. That's already running. I'm not giving money to try to make that happen. I'm just obeying God. See, if I had to give the money to make it happen, then I couldn't believe I received it, could I? Because it ain't mine yet. You see, you got to get past this. You might hear what I'm saying, but everything's been pushing another way and being taught another way. And that thing gets deep-seated in you. And after a while, you just can't, you don't think past that part. It's like, because somebody will come right up again. Well, you need to give. You want to see that? You just need to give. If I've heard many people walk, well, I don't understand. Things aren't working. Why? Well, you ain't got enough faith. Or you maybe didn't give enough money. Or maybe you didn't. Hold it. You got to know inside of you where you're at. If I'm obeying God, And that's what I learned. So I began to learn how this thing. I've been obedient in these areas, and the Lord's telling me, I want you to have more money. I want you to be able to bring this money in. I want you to do it because if I get, he's what he told me. He said, I know if I get money in your hand, he said, you'll use it right. I know that. You'll use it right. You know, it's nice to hear that from God. I don't know about you. Because you sit sometimes in your mind thinking, am I doing okay, God? Am I doing right? I don't know. Sometimes I get thinking like that. Are you doing okay, Ed? Do you need maybe a hit on the head once in a while? Here, wake up, Ed, Space Cadet. Because sometimes I feel like that. I feel like, oh, Ed, where are you at? And this. But it's all this. And I just want to encourage you in this area. It's like when the Lord taught me how to systematically believe. He said, you set yourself out. And you got to find out where you're at or where you can believe. And set yourself to begin to systematically believe God concerning finances. Something come in. God bring in. Now, God could bring it to you in many ways or do many things. And job, work, whatever, you know, else. He could have somebody just come and give you money. He could have you get blessed in ways that we've got wanted. I've got blessed ways we didn't necessarily even think about or anything. And money showed up at things that we didn't even realize was going on and had money come to us. You don't think about those things, but God has ways of bringing stuff in. And whatever it is. You know, God, I've noticed it sometimes, like business people and that stuff have had huge blessings in that stuff in the areas they're giving concern their business. God just brought things to them and bless them. And is following what's in your heart to do. And that's what, stay in your heart. Follow what's in your heart to do. Keep doing it. Don't let things around you limit to you to how far you can believe. Don't let your job that you're on limit your faith. If it does, that's your problem, not God's. The Lord told me this. I said, well, Lord, when he began to speak to me about what I had to do, start believing him for money. And I said, well, how far, Lord, do you want me to go with this? He said, this is up to you. How far do you want to go? How far do you? See, we always look at, well, God's will. Well, I just found out what God's will was. For me, he said, you have been believing, you confess, and you would have efficiency in all things. He said, do you want that? I said, yes. Well, he said, how sufficient do you want to be? How sufficient do you want to be? Well, see, that's up to me. These people say, well, it's up to God. If God wants me to have this or God, then I'll have it. Is that the way it works? Then why are we asking people to pray? When somebody's poor, why wouldn't we just let them stay poor? If God wants them poor, then let them stay poor. Don't give them a thing. Jesus said, you're always going to have the poor with you. He wasn't making the statement that he was making people poor. You're just going to have people that are going to be poor for a lot of different reasons. There's one thing it is. There's a lot of people poor because, man, they just... there's people... I've been around people who have more money than I do, who make more money than I do, who live like they don't make hardly any money. They just blow everything that they get. They just dump everything down the toilet. You go into any place they call the poor section of town, the poor sections of town has more money. It's what they're spending on it. You can't be poor and for drugs. You can't be poor and drinking beer and smoking cigarettes. It's what people spend it on. You're going to spend your money doing all kind of crazy stuff with it? You're going to be playing in the lottery? Well, you're going to, yeah, I'm going to tell you, just loads of people just becoming millionaires all the time out of the lottery, I'll tell you. And they're in there. I watch these poor folks. They come in this place and you have to stand in line and wait for them and they're buying 27 lottery tickets. And you look at them and you look out the door of the car they're driving. And then they buy a carton of cigarettes. If they quit smoking, they can make payment on a brand new car. Do you know you could buy a brand new car today for what people are paying to smoke? You could make the car payment for a month. And they say the person's poor. They ain't poor. It's called stupid. Amen. And then we have a nation who people gather around to help them stay stupid and call it doing good. See, how can we keep them doing this? Let's help them. Let's give them enough money to keep it up. Maybe help them really ruin their lives. But people have money. But it's what they spend it on. It's what they do. I worked at Reese Candy Company. We had people that looked like they didn't have good jobs. They drove vehicles like they didn't have. They lived in places. I'm going to tell you what. I mean, they lived in places that were, I mean, they were fire hazards. I mean, terrible things. People living in, you'd never think that they worked a place. But they'd spend their money on stuff and they wouldn't have money for nothing. Earning as much money. We had people who worked at Reese's. The man and wife, Bo, worked there. I worked there. And Wanda was home taking care of the kids. When the kids were little, we didn't have her work. We lived better than they did. They had both people working there. Two salaries, and we lived better than they did. Wow, they just blew their money on it. And people would say, oh, we need to help them. They're having a problem. Yeah, they're having a problem. They're stupid. Until somebody stands up and says, hey, stupid. You keep doing that, just destroying your life. But everybody, we want to love them. So love them means help them finance their stupidity. That's love. That's the love of America today. Let's help people finance their stupidity so they can just keep doing it and not just destroy themselves. We'll help them destroy their kids. And the next generation coming up, we'll help them destroy that one too. Oh, it's because we're such nice people and we care so much. We care. Oh. Show a hurt puppy on TV. Send your check. People in the United States going over to China buying dogs to bring to America because they eat dogs there and they don't want it. So they're going over and buying dogs. All the problems in this world, and we're buying dogs in China, bringing them here so they can show us more of those advertisements about how help the SPCA. I've had it up to here with the good people. I want godly people. I want righteous people. I want people who care about the people and not about themselves and their stuff and their dogs and their cats. Look, I like pets. We've had pets. I like pets. But my pets never came over any person. God, Jesus Christ came to die for people. He didn't die for one chicken. He didn't die for one cow. He didn't die for one whale. I tell you, the people that are acting there, they're going to be disappointed. When Jesus Christ, you know, the new heaven and new earth, he's going to obliterate all of it. All the animals are going to be gone. They're in this side. Oh, can you hear them complain about Jesus then? I could hear them over in the lake of fire. Did you see what he did? He killed the dolphins. My God. It's about people. It's about people. And we've lost it all. We've lost this whole thing. And we need to come back. We live in an insane society where Jesus said himself, good would be called evil and evil would be called good. And we're in it 100% today. We're in it. We're living in that place. Jesus is not welcome at churches today. If the real Jesus showed up at a church today, many of the churches in this community would have nothing to do with him. They wouldn't even like him. They wouldn't even want him. If he got up and said the things that he spoke, they would run him out of town. Surely he's a fraud. He's not a fraud. This Jesus wants to bless us. And all he asks us is obey him. You obey me. And you'll be a blessing. And then you'll be able to bless a person somewhere. To bless somebody. Hallelujah. To be a blessing in this earth. This whole thing is going to go, folks. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. This earth, everything we know about this earth is going to be gone. All this that people tie their lives to. My life ain't tied to this. My life's not tied to this thing. Hallelujah. I got a life and it's tied to a guy named Jesus. Hallelujah. He's a God man. And that's where my life is tied to that. Hallelujah. And that's eternal. And that's where yours is tied to. Hallelujah. And that eternal life has great blessing for you and it will do wonders for you. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we just want to thank you today for speaking to us in these areas, Lord God. Father, we do need...